Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farmer. He's Justin Labar. He's Raj Geary. And it's Monday Night Raw Wrestling Inc. After Show. For all the people who just finished watching Raw, we're going to chat all about that in a little bit. For everyone who's tuning in to find out what happened on Raw, we'll get to that in a little bit. But first, guys, how are you doing? How's your fantasy football teams doing? We haven't touched base on that in a while. Mine's terrible.
I lost tonight, but other than that, I'd been doing well. I was 5-1 until tonight.
Yeah. I started off 2-0. I've lost everything since. Very frustrated. I've been in the same league for 20 years. Same league for 20 years with mostly the same people. A lot of thousands of dollars spent. This is personal to me. So, you know, losing 4 or 5 in a row, whatever it's been now, it's a dagger.
This year I am in one of those leagues. The only league I'm in is one where it's my buddy's league and all his friends, and no one else knows who I am. But I'm a total doormat, so they're probably very happy that I'm in the league because I am team injury. Every person I had that I thought was going to be so great, totally injured. I was like, Russell Wilson, he's never hurt. He's got all these weapons this year. Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Here we are. So anyways, we got a lot to break down this week. We got a lot to talk about. Let's talk first about ratings, guys. Rampage, Friday's taped AEW Rampage drew an average of 533,000 viewers with a demo of 0.22 rating. SmackDown, on the other hand, the post-Crown Jewel edition got 2.249 million with a 0.58 rating in the key 18 to 49 demographic. Back to where it was before FS1, right?
Yeah. It was actually up from the week before when it was on Fox. So, you know, that's kind of, it's kind of where SmackDown's been. So it's, you know, 2.25 million viewers, which is, you know, it's really good. For where they were before fans came back, you know, where they were falling below 2 million viewers. So they've been steady. I think with Rampage, I think we're starting to see that settle. We're seeing that's probably where it's going to be in the low 500s.
Yeah, and that's good for a Friday night. I think I ask this every week, but that's got to be a good for a Friday night, right?
Yeah, I mean we say this a lot, but you know most TV networks are not putting their strong programming on Friday nights, so they're winning. You know, if they win their time slot, it's obviously always good than not winning, but at the same time, you look what they're up against, and it's nothing, you know, nothing that you're going to be overly impressed about. But still, yeah, Friday night, they're, you know, staying in that time slot for now. So that's, you know, at some point, I'd like to see them change time slots. But apparently that's where TNT feels like they're getting the most value.
Real quick, second lowest audience and second lowest key demo for Rampage, though. So I don't know if that's saying anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll be interested to see if Rampage is still there in that same time slot 12 months from now, or if there's a pivot for SmackDown. You know, look, if you're Fox, like Ross said, you want to win your time slot. So I mean, you're winning what you're doing on Friday nights from 8 to 10 Eastern time. And I think it's important for WWE and Fox that, like, you know, SmackDown for the better part of 20 years, SmackDown was notoriously labeled by the wrestling community as the B show, as the taped show, maybe the better work rate brand. But it was not. Vince McMahon wouldn't even go to it sometimes. Like, that's so the fact that they have been able to transform in a matter of 2 years with a pandemic in the middle of it, been able to transform the B show to a live Friday night show that truly is the A flagship, that if there's one that is must see, if there's one that's easier to watch, granted it's 2 hours, not three, I think it's commendable that what Fox and SmackDown have been able to do. And that's good. You know, you see little blurbs about what Roman Reigns is doing this Friday night on Sunday football on Fox. So to have that power behind it and to be sustaining in the 2 millions when Raw wishes it could see 2 million consistently, I think overall it's a great story for the blue brand.
And continuing on that, Friday actually had SmackDown actually had a replay that they aired on Fox Saturday night, and it actually outdrew AEW's live Dynamite that was on TNT. It was 578 for Fox or 578 for SmackDown and 515 for TNT. For Dynamite, that's got to be kind of a win for WWE, especially after last week when everyone was touting the demo win for Rampage.
Yeah, and we don't know what the demo number is right now for Saturday night, but yeah, it's a replay. It is on Fox, so you do have more exposure. You know, usually it seems like you get a 15% bump being on Fox than, you know, USA or TNT, and yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the Saturday night has sucked for Dynamite. You know, we've seen it in the past, you know, when they're forced to move nights. It hasn't been good. And, you know, they'll be going back to normal next week, right? Or this Wednesday?
Right, this Wednesday.
This Wednesday. So I feel like they got a ton of momentum in September, kind of lost some of that momentum because of these preemptions. So we're going to kind of see where they're at, you know, starting this Wednesday again.
And that's an AEW story. I feel like they had a ton of momentum, and then there was a point back maybe in the spring around NBA playoffs, right, where there was like a month's worth of them being moved. And I mean, unfortunately, they're going to continue to combat that, because even as they grow and even as they become, you know, more of a challenge in the space of pro wrestling in America, TNT is still, you know, or Turner is still paying a ton of money, you know, for their NBA involvement, now for the new NHL involvement, you know, AEW is a long way to go. You know, Raw in its early days used to get preempted by a dog show, used to get preempted by tennis. AEW's got a long way to go until they secure that level of where they don't get moved for anything.
Right, because Raw gets moved for nothing now. And so AEW, they are going to be moving to TBS, and so it's going to be fewer preemptions. You still got baseball, and I think you got NHL on TBS, right? So you're still going to have preemptions here and there, but it shouldn't be as bad as they're having it right now.
I got to say, the old dog show days, not to date us all, but you didn't have the internet back then. So I would always forget that it was coming, and you would just tune in to see Raw.
It was so frustrating.
And you'd be so like, oh, there's not a new – because that's when Raw was really hot too. So you wanted to watch it every week. And you'd be like, oh, it's not on today? What?
Oh, as a kid growing up, forgetting. And you know, like I was, I mean, I don't know, maybe Raj, I know you're a little bit older than Jack and I are, but like, I can remember like being in school in the 90s, and I was like the only kid, especially like in the earlier mid 90s, before it became cool to be a wrestling fan in the Attitude Era. I can remember being in the early to mid 90s. I was the only kid that was not mad that it was Monday. Every other kid was pissed. It's Monday. It's the end of the weekend. Start of the school week. I was excited it's Monday because I was wrestling that night. I was pissed about Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, but I was excited for Raw. And then you turn it on at 8 o'clock. You're like, oh, and I got to look at some poodle, and I'm like, what is this?
That What's was happened? Always I was always the worst. I was the same way. I'd be excited for Monday nights. Yeah. And, same thing. The dog show, and you're just like, God dang it. Now what do I do?
Yeah, now what do I do? I got to go do homework now?
Right.
It's stupid dog show. But in any case, something about ratings, and I'm very curious to hear what you guys say about this or thoughts on this. AEW is going to be live coast to coast starting this week. So from what I understand, that means that it's going to be airing at 5 p.m. here on the West Coast, which is what it always did. But that means same time across the board. So I guess no spoilers can come out and things like that. Correct? Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. So it's going to be live across. If you have DirecTV or satellite, you're getting it live anyway.
Yeah.
Like Sling, you get it live. And that's why I have to get Sling, because I'm on Mountain Time. And otherwise, with YouTube TV, we get the West Coast feed. So I'd have to wait hours. So, so you're exactly right. It's basically going to be live for everyone. It might hurt the rating a little bit just because so many people on the West Coast getting home from work, or probably DVRing it just with the time. But I don't think it should have that much of an effect. Yeah.
Does Sling count towards ratings? Because I always watch it on Sling. Does that count towards ratings? Probably not, huh?
It does, yeah.
Oh, it does. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was watching it on Sling anyway, so when I saw that, I was like, oh, it's the same time for me. I guess maybe it's different for everybody else. But
right. I mean, it's the same thing. Nielsen, you got to be a Nielsen household. But if you're a Nielsen household, YouTube TV, Sling, all that stuff counts.
Oh, I'm not a Nielsen household, so I'm not helping anybody. I don't pick a right. side in this situation.
Your viewership doesn't matter.
Nope, I don't count at all. It's interesting. That's cool. It makes it just feel more live, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's no different for me. I'm watching it live anyway, but
something as far as SmackDown goes, if SmackDown did that, that'd be a big deal. Because I know a lot of people over here have to wait until afterwards. And I know some people wait until after the show to like check Twitter and stuff like that, because Twitter will spoil everything.
If you have the Fox app or either the Fox Sports app or the Fox app, it's live on there, so you could watch it live as it happens.
A little hack if you have Sling, by the way, is if you put it as if you DVR it and then go and turn it, and you can view it like as it happens through the DVR, but not through the guide. If that makes sense for anyone on Sling, I don't know why it does it that way.
Yeah, that's well. I didn't even think Fox was on Sling, on right? Sling?
If you have the right package, whatever package I have, I can watch it through there. But yeah, if you DVR it. And it'll record on DVR on East Coast time, even though it's not playing on the West Coast time.
Yeah.
So that's a little hack there if you want to try to get a view of it earlier. That's what I do. Let's talk about what everyone wants to talk about, though. Let's talk about the thing that everyone's been chatting about and tweeting about and all this other stuff. And it's about a couple of people, Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch. We also got some Sonya Deville in there. There was a little bit of a breakdown that happened reportedly on SmackDown last week during the title exchange. Sounds like things didn't go as planned. It sounds like it's being reported that Charlotte Flair was not happy with what was being presented to her, and maybe she did things a little off script during the show. Now, Raj, as far as what's being reported, this kind of stuff's always weird to me because you hear sources are saying things, but I don't know. I always feel like it's weird when you hear backstage stuff. Have you heard any of these stories, or do you have any insight to what's being reported?
Yeah. I mean, basically the same stuff. I heard one of the top female talents was really cheering Becky on when this was happening backstage. It was a real thing. Charlotte got sent home. She has, both her and Becky obviously have a ton of stroke in the company. WWE, I could not see them releasing her or keeping her off of TV for an extended period of time. So, you know, we'll see. But it just seemed like one of those situations where it happened in the heat of the moment. Maybe Charlotte didn't act professionally, but I could see them just moving past it and act like it never happened.
Yeah, with them being on different shows now, it seems like that would just be what's going to happen. I know this was probably covered, you know, on the after show for SmackDown, but, and just maybe I'll get your thoughts on it. This seemed kind of like a silly segment to begin with, I thought, the idea of a title exchange.
Well, I hate it. You know, in all of our predictions leading up to Crown Jewel and, you know, some of my motivated predictions, oh, well, this person's got to win the title because this person's moving to the show. And I actually saw some people, you know, in this chat or Twitter, or whatever, suggest like, oh, they'll just do a simple title exchange. And I completely like just shot that down. Like, they won't cop out that easy, will they? So first off, on the premise of what helped build tensions between Charlotte and Becky on this segment specifically, and there seems like there's been tensions that have dates back even further, but to this segment specifically, I can empathize with, this is stupid that you're making us walk out here and do this. So that's the first off. So if you know, if you're in the office at WWE, if you're Vince and anybody in his level two, level three, first off, just, this is stupid, okay? But to the point at hand here, like, nothing's going to come of this, as Raj just said, in terms of, you know, Charlotte's not going to get reprimanded. You know, they're not going to take her off TV. They're not going to let her go. She's too big of a name to let go. Far too much history and current money is tied up and invested in her. You know, the moment you let her go, in 91 days, she's with her fiance, and that's a huge story that the woman who's won more titles than any other woman in WWE and who's the daughter of Ric Flair, like, you're not going to do that. Vince is not going to do that. So nothing's going to happen, and Becky's not going to get reprimanded, and quite frankly, it doesn't look like Becky did anything wrong.
Right.
The mistake here, in my opinion, Jack, is this is such a stupid-ass premise to do a title exchange. That they booked themselves, they could have avoided by just changing the results of the matches leading up to this. It's such a stupid-ass premise, and you have the wrestling world, at least the internet world, which grows by every day, buzzing off of this. I'm not saying we got a Sean Brett this. I'm not saying we got a Matt Hardy Edge this. But I don't know. I would just think, like, all right, it happened. We can't undo it. It was live TV. Is there a way to take what looks like we are trying to escape out of a corner and a cheap route of a title exchange, and Survivor Series is coming, and Survivor Series is all about bragging rights and brand supremacy and champion versus champion. I don't know. I would lean in. They kind of leaned into the Nia Jax Charlotte thing when things got out of control a few weeks ago. Let's lean into this. Why not? Make money off of it if you have to deal with it. If you have both ladies and you can't get rid of them, make money off of this.
And, you know, as we often see, sometimes the reality is the best, you know, using the real heat and the real life dramas can be way better than the stuff that they script. I always think of Bret Hart and Vince McMahon. That was handed on a silver platter when Bret came back. And then all of a sudden Vince is running over him with the car, and it just got so stupid when you have the storyline there ready to go. So, yeah, I think you got to do that match now at Survivor Series.
And it would, you're right. It'd be great. Cause even if the whole thing is really just a, you know, they're pulling the wool over our eyes and this is all just a setup anyways, if I see that they're going to have a match at Survivor Series, I am already fascinated to see how this is going to play out. So I agree. I think you just lean into it and you go with it.
And especially if they do stuff like, you remember when Shawn and Mankind, when Shawn Michaels got a lot of heat, because he acted unprofessional during a match with Vader. And so they purposely put in these spots in his match with Mankind at one of the pay-per-views where it looked like Shawn was being unprofessional. So I could think, throw in some stuff like that, and you could have something really, really interesting.
No, that's a great reference. Yeah, September 96, In Your House, Mind Games, a month after Vader and Shawn at SummerSlam. You're right, that was a internal thread and a message board thread, and that was, they kind of leaned in on it. So
yeah.
So Craig Allen in the chat has a fantastic comment here. Raj, send Jack an Under Armour cap. #CapGate.
I have like three others. If only I could.
We wouldn't pass dare. It to you. We wouldn't dare cover up that Jack Farmer hair.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, I would. I could just cut the top off and do like a Scotty Too Hotty thing where my hair comes to the top of it.
Oh yeah.
So speaking of, you know, Under Armour and brand placement and things like that, do you know what's spookier than seeing a black cat on Halloween? It's shaving your balls with anything other than Manscaped. When it comes to below-the-waist grooming, there's no need to carve your pumpkins this Halloween because Manscaped is here to upgrade your grooming experience. Go from bite-sized candy bar to king-sized candy bar and join the 2 million men worldwide by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code WINC20. I don't know if you've ever, I know we've all tried Manscaped. I don't know if anyone in the chat has tried Manscaped, but they definitely need to go there. It's easy to use. You don't have to use the same shaver that you use for your face downstairs. And as mentioned, I mean, make your bite-sized candy bar a king-sized candy bar, right? Why wouldn't you?
And they got a ton of other great products too. In addition to the lawnmower, you they have their the ball deodorant and other products like that. Which
is that what it's called? The ball deodorant.
Ball deodorant. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
They don't, Manscaped doesn't mess around. They just tell it how it is. And yeah, Justin, you're rocking that beautiful Manscaped shirt too.
Your balls will thank you. Yeah, no, everything is quality from them. From the clippers. To the ball deodorant, look, the shirts are comfortable, the boxers are comfortable, the shaving kit is a nice quality bag, a great travel bag for a shaving kit bag. And you have to be blunt. Yeah, they call it ball deodorant. Jack, when you're talking about carving your pumpkins, there's no time for subtle, I need to look up this word, what's this medical definition, what does this thing mean? Just call it the ball deodorant. Don't call it the testicle odorificant. Blah, 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 blah. Just call it the ball deodorant. Just tell it what it is.
It's way more honest this way.
And honesty.
And speaking of honesty, if you don't think you need the ball deodorant, you're the person that needs the ball deodorant.
You do.
But yeah, you did mention the we talked about the boxers and the travel bag. Manscaped throws in the two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped boxers and the Shed travel bag. To bring your comfort and boxers to another level. You get 20% off and free shipping with the code WINC20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus the free shipping with the code WINC20 at manscaped.com. Say trick or treat to your beautiful new Halloweeny with Manscaped. I love the Halloween. I like this one. I can't wait for to see what we got for Thanksgiving when it rolls around. But I want to say a quick thank you to everyone who is in the chat joining us live, whether it be Michael the Virus or Deadpool Party or Ricky Zaldivar or Joseph Boza or Headlock Heel. Thank you guys so much for joining us. It's always appreciated. The 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts are always appreciated, along with those little comments there. The comments in YouTube, the likes, the shares, the subscribes, all that good stuff. Always very appreciated. Thank you so much for joining us. As Mike in the chat adds, I'm ready for Lashley and MVP to return already.
MVP adds a lot to that dynamic. He is definitely missed. So, I'd almost... I can't wait for him to come back either.
I have a feeling they're going to wait till they can both come back before they bring Lashley back. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a 3-hour show, so you kind of, need the star power.
You could make a case that Lashley could stay off until closer to Rumble. I mean, especially, he and Drew were workhorses, again, through the Thunderdome era. You have this fresh roster supposedly now on these brands. So, I mean, you could make a case to let him stay off until Rumble. And I think the reset would be good. I mean,
Yeah. I wonder if they could wait until like the surprise entrance at the Rumble. You can imagine you kind of forget about him by then. And then the music hits. It's like, oh, Lashley. That's my response. Come out. Oh, So let's get into the show. We open with Big E, and I always say sign of a great world champion when you can just start the show, and I thought that Big E was really able to do that. He opens up and says, "Whoo!" And we get Seth, we get Rey Mysterio, we get Finn Balor, we get Kevin Owens. It all breaks down, and we get a quick peek at what the WWE title scene is going to look like. But we also get told a four-way ladder match later tonight to declare a number one contender. Raj, we'll start with you. How'd you think the show started?
I thought it started fine. You know, again, they use this formula a lot where everyone's music just hits consecutively, and then you make a four-way or five-way or whatever. It's just, they do it a lot. So I'd like to see them mix up that formula some. But at the same time, I thought Raw tonight did feel more fresh with the new talent on, the new gimmick for Keith Lee. You know, I definitely thought it felt fresher. So I think you knew Rollins was going to win. He's the only heel in this match. So I almost would have preferred if they had one more heel just to kind of add a little extra suspense. But yeah, outside of that, like you said, I feel like Big E, he belongs. He's doing a great job. And yeah, I mean, that is a lot of star power that was in that ring.
Yeah, they love the formulaic swingers party of let's see how many bedfellows we can get here. You know, the good on it is ladder matches on Raw aren't, you know, that's kind of fresh, or just, you know, so like that's something okay to peg as your main event. It has stakes, obviously, number one contender. I don't know how I feel about the whole shtick of all of the four guys that come out is all of them rattling off the resumes of how credible they are.
Right.
You know, and it's like you've just given me this draft and this fresh roster. And so now you're telling me that the four people that are going to make claim to be the number one contender are all people that have been champions here or there. They've all lost it. All four of them have once upon a time had their spot at the top of the card and have all slid down, some more than others at a time. I don't know. I look at this roster and I look at Damian Priest, Bearcat Lee, Karrion Kross, even Riddle. Like I just look at a lot of untapped, unscratched upon talent that we haven't got to put in this picture. And I would have been far more jazzed. And like Raj said, it was pretty predictable. There's only one heel. I would have been far more jazzed to have just some of the guys I just named right there in this ladder match, because it would have been like, wow, this is unpredictable because none of them have been there yet. So who is WWE about to pull the trigger on? So that was kind of my biggest gripe here.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
That's fair. I mean, I like the idea, like, and I was excited to see this match, but the whole time I was really thinking, I wonder if they'd all coexist. In any case, speaking of coexisting,
you know what would be funny is have a Drew Gulak go out there, you know, during one of these segments, and when they make the match, they're like, okay, the four of you, but not Drew. just to mix it up, because it just seems like anyone could just come out and you're going to get a world title match. That's all you got to do.
Well, to your point, though, let's say he does come out and he is in the match and he's even just feisty in the match. You'd go, oh, wow, Drew Gulak was kind of feisty in this match. Maybe we can find something for him.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, but whoever.
And another point that Justin made is them just reading off their resumes. It was just, they do that too often where it's like, well, you know, I won this title and I want it here and I beat you. And I don't know. I just wish they wouldn't do the resumes every time.
The thing that got me is everyone kept talking about the NXT being an NXT champion, which is cool. But part of me was thinking, you mean the brand you just completely revamped and changed completely and is no longer anything like the title? I don't know. It felt very like that doesn't even count anymore at this point because it's not even the same thing today.
Yeah.
But
some people pointing out that Drew Gulak's on SmackDown, it was just,
yeah. It was a joke.
Yeah, Raj, what are you thinking? Come on. It's going to be at least 3 weeks before they start having people who are on SmackDown show up on Raw for some exchange program or whatever they call it.
Well, with Survivor Series coming up, it's probably going to be sooner than that.
That's true. Probably next week. Street Profits versus Dirty Dogs versus Alpha Academy for a shot at the tag team titles. I thought this was a fun three-way match between three teams, and we got the Dirty Dogs getting the win after Omos makes some interference. I thought this was a fun match. I thought it was fun seeing these three teams on Raw. And I thought it was, if this is a sneak peek into what the tag team division is going to be, I think it looks pretty good compared to what it was. Justin, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, it was a fresh matchup of this triple threat. Triple threat tag teams aren't something you always get. So, I mean, whatever. I mean, like, yeah, it wasn't bad. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with the result. And I'm sorry. I appreciate Dolph Ziggler so much. I appreciate the long. I mean, Dolph is a full-time performer, which he is. I mean, he still works house shows. He works. I mean, I think Dolph has the longevity. Dolph might be the longest tenure guy that is just, you know, and he's had very little time off if you look at it in the grand scheme. I have a total respect for him, the fact that the dude's just hung around and reinvented himself in little pockets. You know, Rude, you know, I don't know. Yeah, he's a guy in his 40s who in great physique, but I don't know. I don't believe in this dirty dog is what I'm getting at. So, like, I don't believe in that. Otis and Chad Gable, two guys who were in otherwise really successful tag teams that they decided to disband at one point or another. I don't know. I just didn't know where to go with this. I didn't agree with that. The match itself's fun, but I don't know what they're trying to do here.
Yeah. I kind of agree. But yeah, to your point, Jack, I thought the action in the match was really good. The Dirty Dogs, I feel like, and that's the one good thing with Ziggler is you could put him in with tag teams for a while, and then you separate him, and he's, you know, back to a single star. With Rude, I don't know. I feel like they've kind of, he's kind of been beaten down so often that I don't see him emerging as a singles star. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think I would have went with another team because the Dirty Dogs have been in that picture for so long on SmackDown that it would really feel fresh to have a brand new team in there.
Yeah, I think because they've been in the picture, but they never feel like real threats. Almost like, and I like Kevin Owens, but almost like Kevin Owens, he gets shots and you're like, yeah, but he's not going to win. You know, that's kind of where Dirty Dogs are in the tag team division. I like them both, but I don't know if I ever really think they're going to win and become the champs unless it's more to get it to somebody else.
Yeah, like a transitionary thing.
Yeah.
Wow, Rude is 45 years old.
Jeez.
How? Like,
he looks amazing.
He looks great, but it's like he's not the future of the company. Like, I don't know. What are we doing?
Yeah.
I think you can still have him there in the tag team, mixing it up with tag teams. So I like Bobby Roode, I guess. I'm being defensive because I like him. So I'm trying to defend him. But Dirty Dogs get the win. Queen Zelina shows up, and she's doing the accent. I think we got a really good view of what she is going to be as the queen. She gets the win over Doudrop using the scepter. And I'm here for it. I think Queen Zelina is going to be fun. She's got a sneaky long win streak going right now, though. Raja, do you think that she's delivering as the Queen's crown winner, Queen of the Ring? Queen.
Well, I think in this role, I couldn't tell if she was purposely going in and out of the accent. Because like one sentence she doesn't have the accent, the next she does. So I don't know if that was kind of a just kind of a play to Booker T, you know, kind of playing, paying a little homage to him. But like I said, I think she looks a part. She looks like a star. We all know that she can go out there and handle a segment or a promo. I thought it ran a little long. But outside of that, I think Zelina's a great choice.
Yeah, Zelina can talk. It was fun. It was entertaining. Rematches coming off of big shows like Crown Jewel, shows you have to have some kind of payment for, you know, have Peacock. It's just so insulting.
To your point, we have totally fresh rosters and we're doing a rematch of something we literally saw a few days ago. So that was very weird to me. It's also
even the worst one. I thought the Liv Morgan Carmella one was way worse, but we'll get to
right.
that.
Right. But I hope that she was intentionally going in and out of the accent. And I hope it's a reoccurring thing. Cause I think that's hilarious. And I thought it was interesting though, because Zelina had been on a huge losing streak, totally turned it around. Doudrop the opposite. She had been on a winning streak and now has just dropped two in a row. I don't know if it matters, but just something to notate from a nerdy stat perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, they flew through that Doudrop Eva Marie storyline, and I just, I don't know. This Doudrop with that name, it just doesn't seem promising. Yeah. And she's really good.
She'll be chasing for the 24/7 title.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of heading in that direction.
That would actually be interesting if she won the 24/7 title. I'd be down for that. That'd change things up a little bit. Someone who's not chasing for the 24/7 title and probably never will be, Becky Lynch comes out and cuts a promo. Bianca comes out and also cuts a promo. I thought Bianca, this was an amazing promo by her. I really enjoyed it. Things got physical, and Becky says that she will give Bianca Belair a matchup. Justin, what did you think of the promo? And we got a showdown between these two next week.
Promo was good. Crowd was into it. You know, crowd very much behind Bianca. They healed Becky. Yeah, this is good. I mean, they I think they later officially said the match will be next week. So that's a big deal for the show next week in Providence. Yeah, I mean, this is again. This it's good, but I couldn't help but as I'm like. You know, I'm just breaking the fourth wall as a fan. I'm watching this segment here, and all I can think about is, I want to see Charlotte out here with Becky. I want to see, like, again, pick up where the emotion and tension left off. I know that they're on different shows, and I know that they don't write to the wrestling rumors and reports from the backstage, but that's kind of the whole thing I'm thinking of the whole time. I'm like, all right, this is a good promo, whatever, but this is... I want to pick back up where the real emotion is.
Well, you make a good point, and Raj, I'll send this to you, is because I think even regardless of what's kind of happened and what's transpired, the way that that switch was supposed to happen or the way things looked like they were going to happen is we were going to build up to a Charlotte versus Becky Survivor Series matchup. But that would mean, even if that is on the table, that Becky Lynch has to retain. How can she retain without really just kind of burying Bianca? I don't like to use the bury word, but Bianca has just been coming up short time and time again since, like, for like 2 months now.
Yeah, yeah. She hasn't necessarily looked strong. She hasn't gotten a big win in a while. You know, Sasha beat her. She didn't win at Crown Jewel. She didn't get pinned, but she didn't win. When she beat Charlotte last week, it was the lamest finish, and it was a DQ, I think.
Yeah, Charlotte hit her with a chair.
Yeah. So, and so another thing with this segment is it ended with Becky coming off looking strong. Like, Becky dropped her to end the segment. And I felt like Bianca's the baby face. She could use that more in chasing Becky off. Especially if Becky's probably going to win next week. At least she's holding on to the title. So, yeah, I feel like they should have made Bianca look a little stronger here. But outside of that, I thought it was a good segment.
Yeah, I could be wrong, and in the chat, correct me. I don't know if there's been a time when Bianca left looking like the strongest figure since SummerSlam. I think in every case, she's kind of looked like someone either beat her or she was the second to, like, Sasha Banks being out there or something. I don't know. Just it seems like she was the hottest thing going, and they just to me as a fan, it seems like they just can't seem to let her look like a star for some reason. I don't know. I'm bitter about it. I like Bianca Belair. I want her to get wins.
Yeah. I mean, and well, why don't you do that to build to this match? You know, Becky basically said, you know, you're sending you to the back of the line, and it makes sense because she did get a title shot and it didn't win. So it does make sense for her to get a couple wins to kind of establish herself as deserving that title shot.
Yeah. So I want to go to the next thing. And the next thing is something that I think is probably going to be the thing we chat about the most, really. And that is Damian Priest has a match with T-Bar. And the reason I say we're going to chat about this the most is, first off, this seems like a different Damian Priest. Some things are different. His music's different. His attitude seems a little different. He gets the win via DQ and then just beats the T-Bar out of T-Bar. And I like this new Damian Priest. This was fun. Justin, you're a big Damian Priest fan. Are you on board with this shift in what we're seeing?
I am. When I saw the new entrance and they dropped the Archer references and imagery and what have you, and the music was different. The lights. I was a little like, because there's been a bad history of them trying to fix what's not broken, so to speak. This guy's had a tremendous run of 2021 since Rumble. Like, why tinker with it? But the graphics on the board, the entrance, the lighting, even the lower third for his name, everything was all about like duality. It was all about like Jekyll and Hyde, Harvey Two-Face. And then he has this match with T-Bar. T-Bar actually gets a lot, to T-Bar's credit. Excuse me. And then, the ending of the match, Priest goes crazy. Just goes, becomes another personality, just goes nuts. And so as I'm watching all this unfold, while I miss the Archer and all that stuff that I just said, I'm on board with this because Priest is the U.S. champion, and these changes to the character seem very focused and deliberate, probably by Vince himself. That would, to me, strike like, okay, we need to add some more layers to this guy, because I see him as in about 6 months from now, we're going to have him in the top world title picture, which is... I love. So if that's the idea, I'll get behind it. So I'm okay with that, because that's what I think is happening here.
Yeah. And then he looked different too. Like, he had like eyeliner or something. Mm-hmm. It was interesting because he had just been doing, he just came onto the main roster this year. So to already change his entrance, he had a cool entrance. This seems like one of those cases where Vince was probably felt like maybe he was lacking a little killer instinct and wanted to get more of that out of him. We hear about that happening all the time in the past, where AJ Styles has talked about it, where Vince would tell him, I need to see that pit bull. This seems like it's one of those types of things where he wants to see more of a killer instinct out of Priest.
I agree with you guys, and I thought, I love the Archer of Infamy stuff. I thought his entrance and stuff was cool, but this felt like a bigger star entrance. Like, this was something I could see matching up with one of their world title guys. And I didn't realize his old one didn't feel as much like that until I saw this one. But now seeing this with, like, the big screen and, Justin, to your point, the duality and stuff, I could see him walking out and being an opponent for a guy like a Roman Reigns or a Seth Rollins or a Big E, and feeling like it's a bigger star than it was before. So I was totally on board with this. And I like that he just wrecked T-Bar. T-Bar, by the way, they're having a good match. I hope he gets more time in the future. But
they did. And like T-Bar's hitting moonsaults, and he was hitting some big stuff. Whether it was Priest's call or the agent of the match or whose call was, but it's like, T-Bar was looking pretty strong, and I'm sitting there going, we're redoing every entrance. Heath Lee has to be, he's Bearcat, and we're like, has nobody decided to take on the reconstruction of T-Bar?
Right. Of all the people that need it the most, T-Bar and Mace, and they're the ones that are getting stuck keeping their gimmicks.
I think if they just let him go back to his name, that would fix 90% of the problem.
But here's the problem. I mean, even though his name was slightly altered when he got to NXT, but it was a playoff of what he was on the independent scene. Again, Vince proves this. As everybody gets boiled down to just one name or a nickname and one name, for the most part. He does not like foreign-sounding names. Donovan Dijakovic or Dijak or any of that variation. Vince seems to have a prejudice about that more than ever anymore. Of we needed to make it easy to say, easy to remember, not like. So I don't. He's not going to be that, but T-Bar will not be going on the Today Show to talk about WrestleMania.
All right, and Dominic, they already have a Dominic, and you know how Vince feels about having people with the same name. So I'm with you. What was Otis's last name?
Dozovic.
Yeah,
it sounded like Dozer or something, but
But to Justin's point, I think it was a little too complicated, and they dropped that. I mean, they dropped Tucker Knight to just Tucker, but he needs to be repackaged. Something fierce.
But I'm saying, even if it's not his real name, even if it's just calling him the name T-Bar, sounds ridiculous.
The face paint, the music, it's just terrible.
So hopefully he gets. Hopefully this is their way of saying we're taking you off TV for a little bit, and then we'll bring you back. And because he's great, he's like I want to see him wrestle, but just I'm never gonna get super pumped about someone named T-Bar coming out. I can't tell my friend, man, you got to check out this dude named T-Bar. And I know there's already been a bunch of people talking about the name and stuff, but this just reiterated it for me. Like, the guy is great. Like, let's just make him cool instead of T-Bar.
Yeah, and that's why what they're doing right now with NXT is probably more important than before. Because before it was trying to be a third brand, and, you know, they were kind of doing their own thing and not really creating characters that Vince would like and names that Vince would like. And now they're getting to doing that and really getting young talent. And whether you like the new NXT or not, it's important in that way as far as creating the new stars, which I felt like wasn't really happening that much there.
Yeah, if you become world champion, which there might be a new world champion coming tomorrow on NXT, yeah. If you become champion NXT, there right now it would seem there's a greater chance that you are going to be set up for succeeding on Raw or SmackDown. And so, yeah, maybe... Hopefully it's not as T-Bar, but whatever he is, hopefully maybe he resurfaces. He disappears from TV, Jack, and he resurfaces as something on NXT 2.0, and the reset starts there to where they do try to form the version. Because, I mean, yeah, he stood there toe-to-toe with Priest. He's 6'6", 6'7". He's there. I mean, you know, he's got the look. He's got the physical and athletic ability. I mean, it's all. He just needs a better care. I mean, you know, T-Bar is just not going to work. We've all known. I mean, Retribution was one of the biggest flops ever.
It was bad. Moving on from that, we got Carmella versus Liv Morgan. Raj, this is one I know you wanted to talk about. Carmella says she's the diamond at WWE, and she gets a win over Liv Morgan.
Hey, how many times have they done this match recently? It feels like five, but it's at least been a couple. Again, you no storyline reason to have a rematch. So why are... I just hate the rematches that have no storyline reason. And, you know, Carmella, she's... I don't get the mask thing. I don't know.
I'm okay with the mask thing. I don't know, Jack. What about, I mean, I kind of like... I've always been into, like, going back to the dashing Cody Rhodes, I've always been into the psychological, somebody's pretty... They feel like they need to protect their face, rightly or wrongly. I don't know. I kind of feel like there's something there. It's more to, I mean, she is, I mean, you know, from my guy perspective, I think that Carmella is one of the most attractive women they have.
Yeah.
So I do think that there's something there to that heel of I have to protect my face, and she's constantly screaming about how much better she is. My takeaway from this match, actually, this whole segment was, You know, her and Corey Graves, they live here in Pittsburgh. They're like the mayor and first lady of Pittsburgh here. This was the first time on WWE that, like, WWE TV has really allowed acknowledgement. They never explicitly said Liv Morgan screamed it, and it was audibly picked up by the mic that they just got engaged, Corey Graves and Carmella.
Congrats for those two.
Absolutely. But this was, like, the first time that, like, WWE leaned into that they were together. And they even did, like, a close-up at one point of Corey, like, selling and defending Carmella. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, Corey's been kind of changed up his look a little bit. And you know, he was a great wrestler and manager himself on the independent scene. Again, bred here in Pittsburgh. I would love to see a commentator pulling double duty being manager. We haven't seen that. That's a throwback to the 90s and 80s. I would love to see Corey Graves and Carmella. You know, Corey's the best heel commentator they have. Carmella's arguably one of the best heel females they have. I think it'd be a great pairing. Just play off of the real life.
Yeah. Yeah. I was surprised. I was trying to think of that too, if they have ever mentioned that on TV about the two of them being together.
They never. Never have.
Yeah. So that was the most interesting thing for me about this match was just that.
I wonder if there's something to do with, because they are engaged, that now it's like, I don't know, like, now, I wonder if that's something that they said, hey, let's keep it not off air until you guys are married. I don't know, like, it's like some old conservative parents, like, don't say anything until you're engaged.
Right.
Well, I think the tough thing is fraternizing amongst the guys and girls in locker and pro wrestling is that's nothing new. But it used to be very taboo, right? It was never. They were never the married couples with each other. They were never the, you know. It's become such a new thing in the last decade, I would say, that wrestling couples are together, and they are together, and they're public about it, and they are, you know, they are each other. It's not, they're not having a taboo on the side relationship. It's like they're each other's girlfriends or wives and husbands and what have you. So I think there's probably already like, I think there's probably a little bit of hesitancy of like, if you pair a guy and girl together and you start to invest TV time and money and look, you know, you now have to like tell them, look, you guys have to work. You know, Lana and Rusev were a rarity in this era to put an actual real life couple and have her adopt a Russian accent and be such part of the presentation. Like, you know, you're running a risk of if in their personal life things aren't going well, and they part ways. That's a huge effect on on-screen stuff. So I, you know, I get it, but I think, I don't know, I think Carmella and Corey would make a fun tandem.
I like that idea.
Yeah, I think they would be great too. And for whatever it's worth, the mask thing, I like the mask thing. The only thing I was against is for a second there they had Sheamus, Carmella, and Mandy, I think, all wearing masks for the same reason, which felt a little repetitive. But
right.
But I like hers because it's so terrifying. It does look very. It doesn't look like it's creepy looking. So
it's Phantom
like
of the Opera-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. So someone else that was a little intimidating today, Bearcat Lee, clawed his way onto Raw, and he had a match with Cedric Alexander. Fun match, I thought. Did Bearcat a lot of favors, and looks like we might be seeing Bearcat versus Shelton Benjamin down the road. I know a lot of people probably want bigger things for Hurt Business, but I think someone like Cedric Alexander really helped make Bearcat look like the big monster he's supposed to be. Justin, did you like how they debuted Bearcat, or re-debuted, or however we're saying it?
I like the. I mean, I'm fine with the Bearcat name, and I'm fine with this again. This focused dominance that he has. You know, I laugh at the cheap play on like how many cat references can we like. and Jack, I know you are, and you were telling me about this, so I'm sorry to say this. I hate cats. I hate cats. I am a dog person 100%. I don't like cats. I don't trust. They sway their tail when they're not happy. Like, I don't trust cats.
They're creepy. They're creepy.
I don't like cats. Don't like them. Don't. Yeah. So, like, you know, cat references don't, yeah, they don't put you on my good side. But the
you are in Keith Lee's litter box now.
Oh, shut up. Let's you, okay, look, Vince has never been shy about dropping a first name or last name. Just drop Keith. He can just be Bearcat Lee. It doesn't have to be Keith Bearcat Lee or Bearcat Keith Lee or whatever. He's just Bearcat Lee.
I think they will. I think that it's headed that way.
He's just Bearcat to me. That's what I'm calling him.
Yeah. Rocky bringing up that Keith Lee has now debuted about 23 times.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
fair.
You know what? I liked it better than some of the other stuff they've come up with for him in the past. The music was better than what they had before his. I mean, I liked his original NXT music, but once they changed that on the main roster, I wasn't a fan. So we'll see if they stick with it. You know, I hope they do. But yeah.
You know, I was thinking, because I like Keith Lee and I liked what he was in NXT and everything else, but I actually can kind of see what they're thinking here, because it does seem a lot easier to figure out, oh, this is who he is, without having to hear him cut promos and without spending too much time. You see him once and you go, oh, this is who this is, if that makes sense. And I could see the thinking behind it and just say, yeah, he's just a big, terrifying guy who beats people up. I kind of get that. I think I get it is what I'm saying. I think I get what WWE
is. He a heel or face?
He seemed like a heel in this one,
but he was wrestling a heel.
That's what I mean. He's a heel or face.
So I'm guessing he's a face, but he acts like a heel.
He's a bear cat. Is he a cat or a bear?
Don't quite know.
Mr. Meowpa says big dog was already taken. Cats are great. Yes. I have a cat and a dog. The cat is not on my favorite list right now, but that's a story for another day. And then Michael says, that Bearcat song growl makes me shiver in fear. I love it. So we also had not a debut, but someone new get into the ring again. Austin Theory picked a fight with Dominic Mysterio. Austin Theory, another big win. I think Austin Theory is going to be a huge star. I love this guy. I think he's doing everything right. He's getting wins. His matches are great. He looks the part. Raj, I see you nodding your head. Is this guy the next John Cena?
Ooh.
Whoa.
That's jumping way ahead.
Is he the greatest of all time?
I mean, he's got all the tools. I mean, he's great, you know, when he was doing the mocking the Eddie thing and just little things here and there. His promo backstage, he's got the right inflection and everything. So I think he's great. I mean, he's been one of my favorite things to watch on the show the last few weeks.
Justin, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, he's not afraid to be a heel.
Yeah.
He actually feels like a guy who's really not afraid. I guess just current comparison, I'll use an MJF. He feels like a guy who's not afraid to go on an interview, go on a meet and greet, and just play the heel. Not worried about moving merch, not worried about getting, ironically, you know, selfies and likes. He's a very good looking dude who is just so unlikable.
Right.
And that's a lethal mix if you can be a really good at it for a heel.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy you want to see him. You pay to see him get his ass kicked. You know, you want that eventually. So I think they're doing a great job with him. Way better than last year, where he was just randomly in a tag team with Andrade, just not doing anything. I feel like he's really getting that personality out.
I think that really shows just how powerful it was for him to go back to NXT and work with The Way and Johnny Gargano, and I think to sort of figure out who he was going to be. Because yeah, he's so good now, and it's one thing to be the bad guy when you're like, oh, I'm going to, you know, I guess like a Karrion Kross, like, oh, I'm going to destroy you and kill you or whatever. But he's doing the things where he makes you not like him for just the, like, Justin, like you said, the inflections and just little things he does that are so annoying. Whether he wins or loses, like, he's still annoying to me. I don't like this guy. I want him to get beat up.
Yeah, he's got that like obnoxious bro frat heat. I don't mean like the cool bro that Riddle's got. Okay. He's got that douchebag frat boy kind of heat.
Right.
Yes.
He's the kind of guy you'd hate in college.
Yeah, yeah. He shows up to the party and you're like, oh, this guy.
Exactly. That guy.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for what they have planned for him. Tag team title match, RK Bro, actually working together.
I, real quick, people pointing out, he is 24 years old, so he's got a ton of potential.
That's insane. That's not fair.
What are you talking about? You still have better hair than him.
Yeah, it's true. But, you know. tag team titles, RK-Bro, work together, get the win over the Dirty Dogs. And I don't know if there's much to write home about. The only thing I really wrote home about with this was that RK-Bro is working together pretty well. And cool pinning combos to end the match. Doesn't look like they're going to break up anytime soon. I thought they were going to be done at Crown Jewel. Justin, looks like this team's going to be stick around for a bit.
Yeah, I timetable this to Rumble. I think Rumble's going to start the problems. Whether it's the old-fashioned, one of them eliminates the other one, and that's what we go to Mania is them, or it just goes to, you know, they give Riddle a bigger singles match and he just splits off. But I think Rumble's probably the timetable. You're back on the road traveling with house shows. This is easily one of the most over acts they have. So I get WWE wanting to hold off on breaking it up for as long as possible, because I mean, you hear the reaction, and I imagine this helps move some tickets and helps be an attraction to stick around after an intermission for house shows of seeing these guys. So I get it, but yeah, I think Rumble is about the time that you're going to need to separate these two, and it's going to run its course, and the oddball couple is going to have to go. So.
Yeah, there's definitely a shelf life to it. Edward Cousins pointing out that Riddle missed a kick during the match. I thought Riddle handled it great as far as recovering from that.
He did.
And again, this match, I thought it was really good. You knew who was going to win. But as far as the action goes, you know, one thing we got to remember is we don't have another real pay-per-view this year. As far as having title matches, you know, Survivor Series is just brand versus brand, and the next one's January 1st. So I think, you know, with a lot of these title matches, they're going to be doing it on TV. We're seeing that Bianca and Becky next week. I'm guessing they're going to do that with Big E and Seth Rollins as well, unless they're holding that off for a while.
Hopefully they do, because I guess we can move into it. We get the main event. Mysterio, Owens, Balor, Rollins. This one I thought was a really good one. And I mean, to be fair, the only way you're going to get these four in a match in a ladder match without it being and not make it great is if there's some sort of shenanigans, like it gets DQ'd somehow. But Seth gets the win. And I already feel like these two, him and Big E, are going to have a great rivalry. Seth Rollins is just in his bag right now with his character. I love it. I think he is just hitting his stride. And every time he gets these new characters, not that this is new, but he knows how to be these different characters. Seth Rollins is great.
What is this character? I remember thinking, they've altered the music. He comes out, he's got like this Joker-ish laugh for craziness. Yeah, tonight he was dressed like Cruella De Vil, as was Becky. They were doing like a little cosplay couple thing. 101 Dalmatians.
So cute.
Like, what is this Seth character? He's just like off the rails cuckoo?
I think so. That's how I think of him. Is he's just... I think Joker's a good comparison. He's just kind of crazy.
It's so out there, though, that the problem is we know Seth. You know, we've seen him for years and years. And to randomly all of a sudden be doing this new shtick, it's I almost feel like he needed something to happen that changes him a little bit. Whatever, you know, whether it's going on a losing streak or whatever. But something happened to where he's now this crazy character as opposed to just randomly starting to do it. So
it was Edge pushed him over the edge, being Edge light, got him all cuckoo bananas, as Johnny Gargano would say.
All right, well, you know, we got to tell that in the storyline. We like Edge, you know, Seth Rollins is just not himself since he's, you know, been since he got beaten by Edge. But it's just way too over the top for me. I don't know.
I love it. I can't wait. I can't wait till Big E makes fun of him for it too, because I think he's gonna make Big E's not gonna pull punches. He's gonna make fun of him for being crazy. He's gonna make fun of his outfits. I think it's gonna be really fun. I think this is gonna be a fun little rivalry. Little, but they'll probably have seven matches.
Right.
Two of which will be, can they coexist?
I mean, yes. No, he's not a baby face, so we don't have to worry about that. But yeah, I mean, really, who else do you have as far as heels go on Raw? You got Lashley, which, you know, they kind of already done. So you don't really, the heel side isn't really that strong. So
all the heels are the up and coming, the Bearcats, the Crosses, the you know, guys that, you know, maybe Priest, maybe if they decide to like have him be more on the heel side of his Jekyll and Hyde personality. Yeah, I mean, which again, I don't know. You're in the end of the calendar year. This is always a transitional period. Again, Rumble kind of resets everything because Rumble sets the tone for Mania.
They reset everything every 6 weeks. There's like a draft, and then there's a Rumble, and then there's the Mania, and then every 6 weeks.
And this year, and I know we didn't touch on the news, and next year's going to be weird, just real quick. I mean, we're going to have, we have a January 1st pay-per-view, which is weird. Yes. Rumble's going to happen. We'll have a two-day Mania again.
Which I love.
I'm all for it. You know, we're going to have some spring and into the summer shows. We're going to have a Money in the Bank early July. SummerSlam, first time ever, is going to be the end of July. And then WWE's going to do a show on Labor Day weekend, which is going to potentially counter-program All Out.
So, right.
Very interesting.
And really interesting that seven of these pay-per-views are on a Saturday. And I get, like, some of these, they're doing them at stadiums, so it's better, you know, for ticket sales and everything to do it on a Saturday. But Survivor Series at the TD Garden, and they're doing that on a Saturday as well. So this is the most I've ever seen them do with Saturday pay-per-views ever.
But it makes sense. And I've been saying this for years, somebody who's traveled for many years. Like, if you put them on Saturday, because then people, they have the next day to travel home. They don't miss work. They don't miss school. Saturday's just a, you know, Saturday's better for, if you're in the city, you have nightlife afterwards, you want to go out. Like, it's just, it makes a lot more sense. And obviously AEW certainly pushed this curve. AEW kind of tapped into that of doing Saturday pay-per-views. So,
and plus in the fall, you won't have to deal with the NFL on Sundays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, and they have college football on Saturdays, but that hasn't been as big of a thing that hurts WWE like the NFL.
Yeah, I like Justin's point. The my travel footprint is much bigger if it's a Saturday than if it's a Sunday. If it's a Sunday, probably not going to go super far. But if it's a Saturday, yeah, make a trip out of it. Make a weekend out of it.
Yeah, no, for sure. For myself personally, I prefer Sundays just because we usually have plans on the weekends. So
yeah,
it's just selfish reasons. But outside of that, yeah, it's, you know, people pointing out in the chat, it's better for people watching overseas with the time differences and everything. So,
we'll see too. I mean, I think they'll do this year, and then if it's not successful, they'll stop doing it. And then if it is successful, they'll probably just move them all to Saturday.
Well, they're still doing some Sundays. You know, they're doing some ones at the end of the spring, early summer. They're still Sundays. So I think they're going to probably try to compare and contrast what's what. You know, what is.
Yeah, they got the first Sunday one. Obviously, you got the second night of Mania. They're doing one in May at the Sunday, May 8th, Sunday, June 5th. They don't have names for these pay-per-views yet. And then for September 3rd or 4th, they're saying Saturday or Sunday. They haven't decided yet.
So, is that the one that's in the UK?
Let me see.
Because that's the one that's like against All Out on Labor Day weekend, but it's going to be in a different continent. So
it says to be determined location. Oh yeah, so that would be the one. Yep.
Well, that'll be interesting to see play out. Like I said, I've so far, I also don't know how much of the Saturday thing I like just because it's different. So I'm like, oh, this is different than I'm used to. I wanted to say something real quick about the heels thing. I thought Owens was going to turn today. I thought we were going to, because he was saying, hey, I'll do whatever it takes to win, and he was headbutting ladders and things. I thought maybe we'd get a different one from him. And I also think Balor can basically go both ways. I think just depending on who he's facing. Like, he can go up against a good guy and you'll still be okay with it. And it won't feel necessarily like face versus face.
I'd like to see Balor turn heel. Like a real heel run. Just because he's been a face for so long that it would, you know, freshen him up. Because I feel like he's just kind of there right now.
Yeah. I think he'd be a cool heel too, because he's just a cool dude. I don't know. It's like I would say he's a rock star. Anyone who can pull off a leather jacket and underwear, I mean, come on. Well, you know.
There you go.
He's always Finn Balor light after you've seen him be the demon. That's what always hinders him with me.
Yeah, because every time you see him, you're kind of like, this isn't as cool as the demon.
Well, once you see the demon wins, then Finn Balor loses.
Right. Yeah.
So, I think that does it for us. We wrapped it all up. Unless you guys have anything else you want to add, anyone in the chat, let us know if we missed anything or if there's any other additional questions you guys have. But do you guys have any final thoughts on this week's Raw, the season premiere, as it were?
It won't be season premiere type numbers.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I thought it felt fresher than, I'll just say that. But, you know, in a few weeks, we're going to be back to not feeling fresh. And, I thought it was a pretty good episode overall for a 3-hour Raw. I was watching SmackDown. I'm catching up on a ton of wrestling right now. And SmackDown, I think, just murdered it. But, you know, compared to what Raw has been doing, I thought it was a little better.
It's so long. They have to hit 15 commercial breaks.
Yeah.
So we have to like send more popular wrestler out first, cut to break to hold the audience and come back, and you know, main event for, you know, let's send people out at 10:25, and let's show three entrances. It's break. We'll come back with Raw. Like, it's just so long. The commitment is unreal. And again, I know that there's just a financial arrogance. They're making more money off of it anyways, so it's not going to change. But it is pain. I will say this: they can make new stars. They can do whatever revamps. Raw is never going to be completely overhauled back to glory days at 3 hours. It will not.
No.
SmackDown is seeing great strides. It is thrust into the A show in 2 hours helps it. As long as Raw is 3 hours, I don't care who they have or what they have. It will never get back to the glory days being 3 hours because it is impossible to sustain at 3 hours with the commitments of 15 breaks, with the commitments of you can't have some of these big name stars there every single week. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, the only way Raw would go to 2 hours is if they get another another network deal for Raw, because then you can't go 3 hours because you have to worry about local news. Or USA start making some hit shows and that third hour Raw is bringing down their ratings average. But until any of that happens, 3 hours are here to stay.
You hear that, USA? Reboot Silk Stockings.
Pacific Blue.
Pacific Blue.
Femme Nikita.
Yeah. And Sable was on one of those shows. I think it was Pacific Blue once.
Yeah, Pacific Blue had a few crossovers.
That was Triple H was on.
That was the cops on the bike, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
With Mario Lopez.
Yeah, I think he fought Triple H on one of those episodes.
And I'm pretty sure Triple H hit a suplex on him at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
I know Shawn Michaels was on Baywatch. He was a part of a kidnapping team. Well, Baywatch, remember that.
Right. Hogan and Macho Man were on Baywatch.
Yeah, it's USA, start rebooting some of these shows so we can shrink Raw back down to an hour, but then get the crossover appeal.
No, we all want Silk Stockings, Femme Nikita, Xena Warrior Princess. We want them back. Get Raw back to 2 hours, damn it.
Yes.
Yeah, in fact, yeah, forget Raw. Let's bring back Xena Warrior Princess and start covering that. but I think that does it for us until next week. Of course, tomorrow there is the Halloween Havoc NXT 2.0 version. There better be an inflatable demon, I tell you what, that you guys are going to be covering on Wrestling Inc. tomorrow. Then Dynamite is back on Wednesday, so watch the after show on that on Wrestling Inc. And, of course, the doubleheader on Friday, SmackDown and Rampage on Wrestling Inc. And, of course, Wrestling Inc. all week with all the news. Follow it at Wrestling Inc. He's Raj Geary. He's Justin Labar. I'm Jack Farmer. This has been Wrestling Inc. Raw. Hit us with a like, comment, share, subscribe. You know the deal. Thank you, guys, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.